WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Booker T, five-time WCW champ.
Shit, bitches, the master and the ruler of the world.
This is Steve Blackman, Lethal Weapon.
This is WKR Sunday Night.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
The greatest wrestling talk show of all time.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
The name does sound familiar.
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
We thought it best to break it to you slowly.
With your hosts, Vin Stein.
Do you know how long it took to set up this project?
The Omega.
Arrogance may not be a uniquely American trait, but I must say, you do it better than anyone.
Heartbreak Mike.
Come on, guys. We're all on the same team here.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
And speaking modestly, I'm the best mechanical engineer in this country.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Sounds rather fun, actually.
And on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
Are you sure this thing works?
WTR Sunday Night.
We may dim half the lights in Brooklyn.
Born Dark Leben, Glass and Globin.
Say I'm pretty fly for a white guy. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, cinco, seis.
You know it's kind of hard just to get along today. Our subject isn't cool, but...
I don't even know why the music anymore. Welcome, everyone, to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Why?
It's my theme song. I'm fly for a white guy.
He's back. That's why.
Either that or it's just he's playing it for James Ellsworth.
No, I randomly found a folder of music and I went, I'll pick that song and I'll pick that song and I'll pick that song. Just wait till the rest of the songs, Omega.
We haven't even begun, and I already have a migraine.
Well, we all know why you have a migraine. It's because of last night. Go to youtube.com/TJOmega for more information on that.
We want to know.
It's on the YouTubes.
Go to YouTube so you can know.
Okay, we have a wrestling show to do. I am the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the network. Joining me tonight, we have Heartbreak Mike.
This is bullshit. Complete bullshit, but I am happy because a good few things have happened in wrestling.
Always good when that happens.
Absolutely.
And, of course, leading this little three-man parade is the one and only Tim Stein.
Yeah, that's me. I'm back. I'm wearing black. So can I say I'm back in black?
Were you in black previously?
I've been wearing black all day except for my t-shirt. My t-shirt, which is underneath my golf shirt, which is black, but the t-shirt's gray with red writing on the back. It says event staff.
It still doesn't answer the question. Were you in black previously? Because then you can be back in black.
Oh, well, let's see. Last week I wore all black.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, then I guess we count that.
Okay, so I'm back in black. I've not hit the sack, but it's been so long, I'm glad to be back. 2 weeks late, or something like that. Because last week was Father's Day, and I'm a daddy.
Mm-hmm.
So there, ha-ha. Ha-ha, ha-ha. Yes, a woman actually slept with me, believe it or not. At least once, so we can confirm that I'm not a virgin. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Rust Talk Radio, live on the interwebs. And streaming simultaneously, simulcast, on the TuneIn app, 100% free, downloaded to your mobile device, search Wild Talk Radio Network. Listen to us wherever you may be, as long as you have cellular coverage. Cool. One thing I'm happy about for this past week is the news that Mauro Ranallo has returned to broadcasting with WWE Omega.
For the NXT brand, where he feels like a better fit in the first place.
Absolutely. You stop and you think about it. Everything that Mauro is capable of doing for the viewing audience. Really, when was the last time we have seen somebody capable of not only being hyped up, but actually getting all the moves right?
Okay, see, it's the moves right. Because I could point to Corey Graves, because he's been doing really good.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, like a play-by-play guy who actually knows what the hell the moves are, knows the origins, knows who invented them, knows the year they were invented, probably knows who they first performed on.
Yeah, probably.
Like, it's scary how informed the man is and how quickly he can pull that from his head.
The one thing you need to add the pop culture reference to tie it into. Got to make sure you get that tied in with that as well.
Oh, not just the pop culture reference, but the updated, up-to-date pop culture reference.
Exactly.
And not stuck in the 60s.
It's not referencing an episode of I Love Lucy.
Okay, 50s.
Or Gunsmoke or whatever JBL likes to reference.
Yeah, God.
Oh, my goodness. So, Mike, what do you think about Mauro Ranallo's return?
There's a freaking God. There's just no way to describe it. Thank God, because he belongs in NXT. I hate to say it.
Yep.
And considering the fact that he's in NXT, I want you guys to really think on this. McGinnis, Mauro, Jim Ross, NXT TakeOver. Need I say more?
Not going to happen.
Shut up. It's going to be my dream.
Not happening.
I don't know. I think it is.
It's too bad that you can't set up the announce team on WWE 2K.
Here, I'm just going to explain why it won't happen. JR and Mauro are two play-by-play guys. You don't put two play-by-play guys on the same announce team. Just throwing that out there. I know it crushes dreams and crushes souls, but...
If gender can be champion, anything can happen in the WWE.
Have you heard when Michael Cole and JR try to do commentary together? It's awful. So you don't put two play-by-play guys together.
Yeah, no, they did that. One thing that I really liked about that was JR no-selling all of the attempted insults hurled in his direction from Michael Cole. You remember that? That was priceless. Wouldn't respond to him, just like stare at him like, okay, who let the kid in here? This is the adult
table.
That's
true. You're such a buzzkill, Rock.
I was waiting for that.
Jeez.
So, yeah, we're all in consensus that one of the things we love about NXT, it has that indie show feel with high quality production values. And Mauro, I think, is an absolute, and I'm pretty sure we all think the same thing, absolute perfect fit for a scene like this. Now, of course, I'm lucky enough to have not only do it, yes, I know Mauro Ranallo. Okay, so there you go. Pick up that other name I just dropped. But, you know, fortunate enough to have him call play-by-play for Stampede Wrestling here in Calgary in the late 90s. And I don't know what kind of exposure he could possibly be given now to fans who haven't had the pleasure of having him call matches yet. I mean, maybe there are people watch NXT who don't watch SmackDown or Raw. I'm sure they exist.
Oh, I'm sure there's people who will watch exclusively because they are sick of SmackDown and Raw.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, like with Mauro coming back, you know I'm going to do everything I can to try to find the opportunity to watch NXT a little more often now.
So. Yeah, I will admit I've been falling off NXT lately just because I haven't had the time, but if he's commentating, I might have to make time.
I think a lot of people will. Maybe people who don't watch wrestling at all anymore because of their distaste for the current product and the writing. Might go back to NXT and give that a shot. Which leads to my next question. Do you guys see even a tiny little bump in NXT ratings because Moro's coming? Start with Omega.
Well, there's no ratings on an internet broadcast, but...
Well, you know what I mean.
I would actually imagine an increase in viewership off of this. Because you're dealing with NXT fans who are a little bit more savvy to begin with, so they're going to be up on that kind of thing, and they're going to be a little bit more excited than, you know, everyday wrestling fan, because, you know, everyday wrestling fan probably doesn't really care who's doing the play-by-play.
Mm-hmm.
No, but internet fans, yeah, like, we like Morrow. He's been really good, and yeah, I would imagine some interest picked up just based on, yeah, he makes the product more exciting to listen to.
Yeah, Mike?
I don't really care. Well, yeah, I do care. Will it bring, like Omega said, internet, just saying, but hey, who knows? Maybe more subscriptions and whatnot. People, Morrow's back. Yes. Let me use your WWE network. Let me use that. Yeah. You'll see more views, and God, it's going to be so much fun.
Of course, NXT is actually broadcast on cable here in Canada.
Good for you.
Just thought I'd rub that in a little bit.
Meh,
nothing.
I don't care. I can watch it anytime. Like,
yeah, there.
Right.
So anyway, well, you know, we got more than a couple Canadians listening, so I just thought I'd throw that out there. Now here's the thing: he's only going to be working. He's going to be working less than 20 days. Is like, you know, instead of being on the road every week and doing close to 60 to 70, he's going to be working less than 20 now.
Which is good for him.
It's his family, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Well, of course good for his family. Yeah. But, yeah, but it's good for him with, you know, the issues he has and, you know, difficulties, because part of that is going to be like being on the road away from family all the time. Like, that's going to exacerbate anything he goes through mentally. So a lighter schedule like this should be a good fit for him.
Which is a good thing. One thing that we don't want to see is any kind of burnout or any more problems with Morrow. Let's, you know, being realistic about it, Morrow does have a fan base.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure that they all care about his mental health and well-being. It's well documented that he's the bipolar rock and roller. And yes, you can blame Rock for that one, not me.
Me.
But I'm not making light of the situation. I'm not making fun of it. I just want to point that out. So I don't want people thinking that I'm being a dick any more so than I normally am. I'm not that much of a dick, am I? Silence speaks volumes.
It's one of those moments where, what's the funniest thing I could say?
Yeah,
I'm getting $2.99 at the supermarket. I need to go get me some.
I was just wondering if you got a mouthful of blood from biting your tongue so hard. I just, you know.
No more than I usually do.
Exactly.
Okay, there you go. That's all that matters. So welcome back, Morrow. We're really glad that you're in the driver's seat in NXT, and we look forward to all the broadcasts that you're going to be doing. And I'll tell you, I'll be looking forward to all the NXT TakeOver shows, definitely. Because as good as those are, I think he's going to help elevate it just that much more. So welcome back, Morrow. Guys, last Monday night. Now, I just rewatched Raw last night, and this has been – it could be classified as the worst kept secret in Raw. Cass and Enzo, basically being split up. And, you know, our notes are saying that it's the breakup, everyone didn't want. And it was Cass, turns out he's the guy that has been, cold cocking, his partner, Enzo. Because, if I remember correctly, Cass is basically sick and tired of having to stick up for a guy that nobody in the locker room likes, in a nutshell. Who's happy with this breakup?
big cast because he's going to get a huge singles push now.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, well, an attempted huge singles push. We'll see what happens.
It's all WWE has wanted to do with him since they made the main roster. They, you know, that's very well known.
Is it because he's the same height as Big Show?
No, no, it's because he's a big guy and Vince has a boner for big guys.
That's, you know, that's and the accepted rumor, yeah.
It's also because they don't know what to do with someone like Enzo, who looks small in the cruiserweight division.
Yeah, what are they going to do with Enzo now?
They're going to do the contrived thing, which is they're going to immediately send him to a feud.
Oh, God.
Which is probably a great balls of fire.
Enzo versus Cass?
It's the obvious thing to do, which means that's what they're going to do. But I hate when they immediately jump to things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was talking about it last night. Like, I prefer, like, the Kane and Undertaker style build-up where, you know, this is a very deep relationship that just got broken. I don't like it that, like, I don't think I would, if my best friend suddenly did this to me, I don't think there would be a, you know, like, I don't think the very next time I had a chance to face off with them, I would immediately want to kick their ass.
Uh-huh.
Like, I would think there'd be a time where it's like, no, this is like a really important person in my life. Like, I can't, like, I don't care what they did to me. I can't hurt them. I don't want to do that.
Well, here's the thing. And I have to admit this was absolutely perfect and it was subtle. How many people caught during that close up on Enzo's face right after the reveal, the single tear that dropped down his cheek?
I did not see that.
I saw that and I went, oh, fucking brilliant. Enzo can cry on cue. Awesome. Did you catch it, Mike?
I did. I wanted to find that Michael Jordan picture. I was like,
yeah. Crying Jordan. Yeah.
Yes.
It's all over Twitter. All you got to do is go there and search. You can't spend a half hour on Twitter without running into it. But, Omega, if you missed it, you got to rewatch that segment because just watch it for the nuances. And Enzo, absolutely perfect. I think the guy would wind up being a pretty good TV show actor. Not a movie star, but a TV, you know, TV actor. It's just the look of hurt and devastation in his face the whole time he was getting reamed out by Big Cass verbally was absolutely pitch perfect. And if they play it correctly, they play it right, he's got to be like, not moping around, but like in the upcoming weeks, they've got to show him in some kind of a fog, a daze, like in total disbelief. Would you guys not agree with me?
I kind of want that.
Just to make it feel more sincere?
Yeah.
What are you thinking, Mike? I know you have a bit of a thought about that's happening.
Okay. Yeah, I knew it was going to happen, but I didn't know it was going to happen like that. Well, no, I fucking lied. I don't know. Like, right now, with that, I want to see where it goes. Because it's like, how is the storyline going to go? I really think that they're going to do something to, oh, Jesus, to prolong it until SummerSlam.
What I want to see leading up until, you know, the inevitable confrontation, I want to see the five stages. You know what I'm talking about?
What, the five stages of grief?
Exactly.
Denial.
You've got denial. You've got what are the other four? There's anger, there's acceptance, and there are two others.
Okay, so in order, it is denial, angering, bartering, depression, and beating your best friend with a steel chair.
Okay,
that's the wrestling five steps.
Yeah, well, the fifth step is acceptance or beating your former partner with a steel chair. But you know, that's what I want to see, and just like it would just be kind of a perfect storyline. You see Enzo walking around in total disbelief, not accepting that Cass turned his back on him. And then, you know, getting pissed over it. And then say, dude, come back. What are you talking about? Come back. Don't be a hater. You know, like shit like that. And then finally, screw this. Bang him over the back because you can't hit anybody in the head anymore with the steel chair. Wouldn't that be a good build up?
It would. I just had this dread that they're just going to rush it just so they can do it at Great Balls of Fire.
Yeah, I'd prefer that not happening. I'd like to see Cass be put into a program with somebody else. I could accept Enzo coming out in the middle of the match, looking hurt, looking upset, looking depressed, or in the middle of the match, just basically causing a DQ by climbing into the ring and smacking him with the chair and then buggering off again. But Great Balls of Fire is 2 weeks away, WWE. Don't put these two against each other that soon. Please, we're begging you.
Yeah, my fear is that they're in such a rush to get Cass on his own, because that's all they've wanted to do, that they're just going to shove this out there. It's going to be one match, and God knows what happens to Enzo.
Yeah.
Which is terrible for him, because he's the best mic worker they've had in years.
Yeah.
Like, he deserves so much better than to just be a stepping stone for Cass.
Well, guys, let me ask. Does this wind up giving Creative the opportunity to actually make him come across as better in the ring than he has been? Because let's face it, you love Enzo and Cass coming out, and they get on the mic, and you can't beat that. And then Enzo goes into there, gets his ass kicked, he makes the tag, and Cass cleans up. That's pretty much how it's been since they've been brought up from NXT.
Mm-hmm.
Would they be able to actually make it work? You know, all of a sudden, Enzo is he's a good wrestler. Look at what he's doing. He's beating all these guys up. Or beating them. I think Cass probably will do more beating up.
Probably, yeah.
So.
I don't know. Mike wants to chime in here.
Yeah, Mike, you're supposed to, chip in whenever, buddy.
I mean, because all of you all are saying basically the things that I'm thinking.
Well, go ahead and reiterate or expand on what you said. You know,
nothing wrong with reinforcing a point.
Touché, oh, hell no.
Touche. Well, okay.
Don't talk about the touche.
Two out of three ain't bad. They want to get this out of the way. I feel like they're either going to get this out of the way or they're going to prolong it and this feud and stuff it down our faces, stuff it down our throats. Because to be perfectly honest, they could have really just like stopped it. He could have just beaten the snot out of Enzo right on their Monday Night Raw. But they're doing that feud of, and I hate to do this feud of the Batista Rey Mysterio, you were supposed to be my friend, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, all they do is talk, and it's like, keep talking, you're just going to make me angrier and angrier and angrier. We all know Enzo Amore can fight. We all know Big Cass can fight. Get it over with. Please don't prolong it. If you prolong it, then, I hate to do this, then just give him a good stipulation in Brooklyn. Brooklyn Brawl or something like that to end it. And then, hate to say it, give Big Cass the push that he deserves.
Well, here's the thing. Can you really get these two scoring off against each other and have it believable?
You honestly, Tim, you know this. Best friends make bitter rivals.
Best friends are the best rivals.
Exactly. So I think it can... Well, hold on. It can work. Hopefully they'll get the direction by the right person.
Okay. Omega, you understand my hesitation with this?
Possibly. Elaborate.
Look at Enzo. Look at Cass.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Mismatch for the ages. Oh, what about Rey Mysterio and all the people he fought except Big Show? Yeah, I get it. That's, you know, don't, like Mike said, don't revisit that. But how can they pull off a match against each other and have it be even partially believable with even the tiniest little bit of a suspension of disbelief?
The only way is if you play Enzo to be smarter than Cass.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got Big Cass, who between size and heel, he's going to be the more arrogant, mm-hmm, you know, of the two. if you play Enzo to be smart, and everything about his character is he's, you know, he is smart.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have him take advantage of what he knows about Cass. So, well, he keeps his leg in the wrong spot during this move, so I can trip him up, or I can chop block him down and take him out the legs. Or
now you're just talking complete ring psychology here, son.
Yeah, kind of am.
Which is kind of a novelty sometimes anymore.
But you either play the Rey Mysterio way, where he plays too fast in order for, you know, for the big guy to catch up to him, mm-hmm. or you have him play smarter, where he knows exactly where to chop Big Cass down, knows exactly, you know, what he's going to go for, so he knows how to counter.
And he's got to do that all the while staying out of reach for as long as possible.
As much as possible, yes.
As long as possible, as much as possible. As much as it's really just a waste for them to break up this tag team right now, if they play it right, we could actually have a fairly entertaining match. It's not going to be a five-star off the hook, oh my God, this is awesome. But it could still be really good as long as they employ that psychology that you brought up or pointed out or whatever.
Here's hoping.
Fingers are crossed. But geez, you know, breaking these guys up, how many babyface tag teams are left on Raw?
Supposedly Slater and Rhino are breaking up.
I'm about to say they don't count.
Yeah, but that one's amicable.
Well, doesn't Rhino have to go and run a city or something?
No, he lost.
Yeah, he lost that.
Oh, I thought he won.
No.
Oh. Yeah, American politics, who knew?
No, Kane's still on the campaign trail. We'll see if he has to run a town.
So. But, name two babyface tag teams that you can name that we're not discounting because they're breaking up amicably and all that other stuff.
The Hardy Boys.
And?
Working on it. Yeah, because that's three face tag teams on Raw that have broken up recently.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ, I didn't even realize that.
How are you going to run a tag team division with only one babyface tag team?
It is the Hardys.
That's the one babyface tag team. Yes, I know, it's the Hardys, but still, come on.
Yeah, that's...
Even that's stretching it a bit.
Yeah, the system is broken. We need at least a couple more tag teams in here to fill the void.
Well, are there any chances of them bringing somebody up from NXT or signing somebody else from someplace else?
Unless the Revival turn face, that's not happening.
Yeah, here's the thing. They just broke up the top face team in NXT in Ciampa and Gargano.
Yeah,
and best friends. I'm sorry, they're called best friends.
Half of TM61, I think, is still injured.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, your face team on NXT is Heavy Machinery right now, who's brand new to the brand.
Mm-hmm.
Oh shit! Is it really?
I think that's it.
Oh God!
That's all you got.
Oh wait, no. Yeah, they are.
So, like I said, what are they going to do? They've got to have more than one full-time babyface tag team. Who turns, aside from Revival?
Are the Dudleys back in TNA yet, or?
Well, I read someplace to rehire someone. I read someplace that Bubba Ray is now calling himself Bully Ray again.
Well, he has to do that anytime he's non-WWE.
Yeah, that's
true.
Trying to stoke the rumor fire, but you kind of shut it down.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Fuck your rumor fire.
Rumor fire killer. But anyway, yeah. I mean, what can they do? Aside from turning Revival, it's way too soon to do anything with Cesaro and Sheamus.
Yeah, they just turned them.
Yeah. And for the longest time, they did the baby heel partner. And that kind of worked, but. I don't know. Instead of turning Cesaro heel, maybe they should have turned Sheamus babyface. Although he makes a better heel.
Here's the thing. Yeah, that too. Here's the thing. They also just formed a new heel tag team in Miz's Entourage.
Mm-hmm.
You want sense? Yeah,
new-ish. I mean,
they've teamed before, but like this is a formal thing.
Yeah.
It didn't dawn on me until you mentioned it. It was like, yeah, the whole division is so broken right now.
It's worse than broken. It's shattered.
I genuinely don't know what you do.
Mm-hmm. Speaking about shattered, am I right in assuming that all you guys are just not buying the hype between Goldust and R-Truth?
Oh, this is fucking dragging. I'm so sick of this.
Okay, what about you, Mike?
Oh, God. It's like, don't get me wrong. Goldust, good to see Goldust back. Classic Goldust, but...
Yeah, vintage Goldust.
Yeah. Vintage motherfuckers.
Oh, how did you do that without coughing? That makes your throat itch.
I just don't want it with Archer against Archer. Be brutally honest. But you gotta do what you gotta do.
Well, somebody gonna get caught. Okay, balls of fire. And I have to tell you, they have actually pulled me in, and I'm enjoying this little bunch of skits between them. They're keeping them apart week by week by week. And it's the case of, from my point of view, from my purview, you can't please anybody. Because if you keep them apart, people get bitchy that there's no push me pull you. If there's a push me pull you, people get bitchy because they're not being kept apart until the big fight. But this, and I'm not taking shots at anybody directly or indirectly when I say that. Except for, all fans in general. but for me, I'm like watching this and I'm like, okay, well, we got the shattered dreams because we've been, treated to, vintage gold dust from the Attitude Era, with that all freaky deaky stuff and before same sex stuff was all, fine and dandy and acceptable and there's not a problem with it. Gold Dust's character was just right on the edge of that, being like homoerotic. And it was shock value back then in the late 90s. Unlike today where it's like, yeah, whatever. Everything else that's going on. We got the Shattered Dreams Productions. I miss the wig. I do. I have to admit, I miss the wig. And of course, I'm not going to lie. Seeing Marlena with a cigar again wouldn't be such a horrible idea. Although the two probably don't get along very well.
My suggestion was for him to find a new Marlena who vapes.
You know what? I don't hate that suggestion.
Just, yeah, we'll millennial this shit.
Why not, right? Just appeal to the millennials with it. It might work. It could work. But you get the classic promos from Goldust, and he's quoting all of these classic movies and just tying it all into each promo. And then you got Truth Be Told with R-Truth doing his version, which is almost like – and this is going to come across as like I'm stereotyping – and being somewhat, racially, profiling, but I'm not. But it's just coming across as like a Spike Lee joint type idea, which I'm reaching back a little bit into the 90s for this on both sides, which I don't know, makes it more acceptable or it does make it more acceptable, but it's just the way it was in the late 90s. That's kind of the vibe I'm getting. But I'm also getting a little bit of Tarantino stuff coming from R-Truth as well. And Omega, you're just bored to death with this whole thing, so I don't know if you're picking up on my perceived nuances whenever they do these promos.
No, I am not. I'm more figuring out if I'm dreading or interested in the idea that they might lump R-Truth and Enzo together after this.
Uh-huh. Enzo and R-Truth?
Just to get the two wordsmiths together.
Stop.
Well, they do need another babyface tag team. I didn't even think about that until you brought it up. And no wonder you have a migraine.
Yeah.
No kidding. But, going back to my original statements, Mike, what's your opinion of them?
We'll see how it goes.
Okay. It's hard to talk hypey about something that I'm the only one invested in.
No. I mean, it's like I said, it just depends on how it goes. I mean, so far it's a slow process.
Yeah. Well, do you guys think at least that they could pull off a decent match at GBOF?
Of course. I mean, I have no doubt about that.
Okay.
Yeah, at this point, yeah. They know each other well enough.
Mm-hmm. Is it going to get the appreciation it might deserve just because of who they have been as a tag team?
Possibly, except it's not, it wasn't the most well pushed tag team though.
Well, this is true. They were just there for filler and comic relief.
Yeah, their most famous point was, the most famous point was R-Truth playing Pokemon Go during other people's matches.
I love that.
That's funny.
He's
walking
through the ring right in the middle of the match because he's chasing a Pokemon Go. It was funny. It was quite entertaining. I forgot all about that. Jeez. So, yeah, no, I just thought I'd bring that up really quickly because I wanted to get your guys' feedback on that. But that said, we've been talking for a while, so why don't we take our first break of the night, guys? You're listening, everybody, to WTR Sunday Night Russell Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We're going to take our first time out of the evening. And we're going to come back on the other side of timeout, talk some more stuff. Don't forget, Great Balls of Fire, 2 weeks away. We'll be back right after this.
Get your motor running. Head out on the highway. Looking for adventure. And whatever comes our way. Yeah, darling, go make it happen. Take the world in a loving. Explode into space. I like smoke and lightning. Heavy metal thunder. Racing with the wind. And the feeling that I'm under. Yeah, I gotta go make it happen. Take the world in a loving embrace. Fire all of your guns at once and explode into space.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR wherever you are.
Who is the greatest hockey player of all time? CB Radio has decided.
Butchering some names. Frank Nyberg versus Joe Nieuwendyken. Nieuwendyk.
I'm going to go with Nieuwendyk.
Yes.
Nieuwendyk. Wow. That is not what it looks like. Sweeney Schneider versus Matt Schmidt.
It's Milt. Not
mad. Whatever. I figured that was going to help out Team Chat. Finally, someone who has a real name. Brad Park gets Mark Messier.
Messier.
What the hell?
Messier.
Fucking
lynch him. Get a rope.
He has a goddamn R at the end. Screw you.
I can only wait till I get to that Wayne Gretzky guy.
Guy Lafleur versus Lauren Chatbot. You added a T. Yes, I did. On purpose. Brett Hull versus Ray Borkew.
Bjork? Ray fucking Finkel.
Bjork. Okay, whatever.
Just think of the Swedish chef.
Fischler versus Wayne Gretzky.
Gretzky. I'll be the Gretzky guy.
Way to play into it, Jobber. Way to play into it.
Pavel.
Oh, God.
Wait. Pavel Bure. What? How do they have his mouth?
Bure.
Pavel Bure.
Bure. Okay.
Oh, my
fucking
God.
French. Jerome Ignilia.
Aginla.
What?
Aginla.
Versus Joe Sakic. That's where I was going to go originally, but I figured it was going to be pronounced differently than I was expecting.
Jerome Aginla, one of the all-time greatest Calgary Flames players of all time.
Okay, Sakic. So I'm going to go with Joe.
I will just sack it on. I can feel the hatred now for that last one.
You're all idiots.
It's the Greater Than Great Debate, heard Saturday night, midnight-ish Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means Brock Lesnar, you're last!
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, you're going to put something on that list. Why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
This is the Masterpiece, Chris Masters, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
I don't want to go. I like this song. But it's got to be turned down. There we go. Welcome back, WTR Sunday Night, everybody. Rose Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. All of a sudden, I just have this craving for cherry pie. And I'll leave it at that. Once again, we are simulcast live on the TuneIn app. Download it 100% free. Search Wild Talk Radio Network. Listen to us wherever the hell you may be. And it's not just this program. It's every live webcast we do on the Wild Talk Radio Network, except, of course, for WTR Sims. WTR in the Bank is coming up, isn't it? WTR Money in the Bank? We'll
Nothing.
Go. We'll go with that because apparently the producer's busy eating cherry pie. Well, maybe not. I don't know. Anyway, I want some pie.
What kind of pie?
Apple, cherry, blueberry. You know, pie. Just don't give me pecan pie. I can't do that.
What about Poontang?
Well, The Rock would get jealous, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he doesn't own the trademark anymore.
Well, okay, then, yeah, you know, I can have my fill of that anytime I want. He said bragging, cause that's what I do and nobody pays attention anyway. So there you go. All right, train wreck time. Back to where we were. Yeah, WTR Sims, we got, every Tuesday night, twitch.tv/rackradioshow. You want to check it out. It's fun. It's a great way to waste, 45 minutes. And it's a lot of fun to see a wrestler that is built into like a coin for a coin toss beat Team Chat, better known as Matt Schaefer. Matt Schaefer loses to the coin all the time, Omega.
Well, Mitt, it's, I have not kept up, so I was not aware it was on a losing streak.
Yeah. The coin. He got mouthy with, our producer. And so, Rock, created, a wrestler called the coin. And it's actually the coin, right? He's got a 25 cent piece, heads on one side, tails on the, on his back, right?
And he will continue to fight the coin until he beats the coin.
And that's never gonna, I'm just starting to think that's never gonna happen.
So his opponent every week until we decide, till he finally beats the coin will be him fighting the coin. So.
Which is kind of funny. But anyway, yeah, you want to check it out. Twitch.tv/rackradioshow.
Twitch.tv.
Tuesday nights at 9:30 Mountain Time?
9:30 Mountain, 11:30 PM Eastern. Twitch.tv/rackradioshow.
Yeah. So, a lot of fun. Anyway. Back to our regularly scheduled, whatever we do here. Braun Strowman's back, guys.
Yay. He's not finished with us.
Apparently he's not finished with Roman Reigns.
Thank God.
He, challenged Roman Reigns to an ambulance match.
It's weird for someone that big, it looks like just a big lumbering brute, to yep. want such a specific match.
Well, it's, you know, I just had a whole problem with his, entire, promo on Raw. To tell you the truth, it just came across as too, staggered, too, choppy and stuttery. You know what I mean? Like, it just felt super rusty.
Yeah, he's been gone a little while and not great when he left.
Yeah, this is true. But it was a lot worse. And hopefully he, improves tomorrow night. But an ambulance match? Like you say, that's a little weird for him to be that specific that quickly.
I mean, I see why. It's like, you've pretty much done everything you can do to an ambulance at this point.
Yep.
You've knocked it over. You've knocked off doors.
Mm-hmm.
You've ridden in them.
You might as well use one as a way to beat your opponent.
Especially because an ambulance match has weird stipulations to it that is not specifically about beating the shit out of your opponent.
Mm-hmm.
Depends on the kind of rule set they use. If it's like, okay, well, just throw them in the back of an ambulance and shut the door and you win. Then it basically works like a casket match. But if it's the kind where it's like, okay, put them on the gurney and push them all the way up the ramp. If you get them across the line, you win.
Yeah.
Fucking hate those.
Those are never any fun.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, what do you think about all of this, Michael?
Braun Strowman being a troll by beating the hell out of Roman. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Cool.
Ambulance match? Okay.
Maybe.
I'd have been like stretcher match, but you know.
Stretcher into an ambulance. The ambulance has to drive off for you to win.
I guess that can work.
Yeah, maybe. Hopefully it's not another John Cena versus Ryback match.
Oh, it'll be more of anybody versus Hulk Hogan match. We all know Roman's going to win.
So, right before all of this, Roman Reigns declared himself the number one contender. Doesn't matter who wins the title at Great Balls of Fire. He's declared himself the number one contender. Can he do that?
But Joe's beat him.
Yeah. Just Joe.
No, we already had him.
Beat him.
So. I got a funny feeling that this, declaration of him being a number one contender is going to get derailed and will not happen at SummerSlam. And it gets held off maybe till WrestleMania. Because Braun is now back, I just have a funny feeling that something's going to go haywire and Roman Reigns is not going to wind up fighting the, champion for the title at SummerSlam. Would they actually be able to pull off what they were originally planning and have Braun face Brock at SummerSlam?
It wouldn't surprise me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I don't think Roman will have any claim to the championship if he loses an ambulance match to Braun.
Okay.
You know, it would be as simple as that. Just, well, look, you can't just run, you can't just come in here and say, I'm number one contender now. You just lost a major match.
Yeah. So you see Braun actually beating Roman here.
Yeah. Yeah.
He didn't want to say it. He didn't want to
say it. I don't.
No, you know, that works for me, cuz points. More points. Sorry, Omega.
Uh-huh.
I saw the latest update.
So,
my sympathy is sincere. I'm trying not to be a sore leader in points. So, are you guys looking forward to this matchup, Reigns versus Strowman?
No.
Okay.
We've seen it a dozen times already.
Yeah. I was disappointed by the first one, the one that they hyped up that I figured was going to be great because it's going to be just a fight, and it never really materialized into what, you know, maybe I got overhyped for it. I don't know. And they couldn't live up to the hype of it.
The beatdown of Roman Reigns was more entertaining than all their matches combined.
And that was the second one. Did anyone bring up the point about how Roman Reigns came up and said he wants to be number one contender and talked about how he beat Braun Strowman, yet he didn't beat Braun Strowman?
We hadn't quite gotten there yet, but we did bring up that Roman has declared himself number one contender, and then this is what happens when you walk away. You miss shit.
I walked away for 2 minutes.
And we covered it.
I'm just saying. Did you bring up the point where he didn't beat him?
Yep.
Okay. Just making this clear.
As he goes back AFK.
AFK. What is this, 2001 and you're on CompuServe?
AFK, BRB, LOL, JK.
ROFL, ROFLMAO?
Something like that.
I don't know.
IDK.
Or PML, as they say in Britain.
FML here.
Yeah, no, they use PML in Britain for LOL. PML. PML means pissing myself laughing.
This is your fault, Mike.
It's not my fault.
You brought up the acronyms.
You did.
Sorry.
It's your fault.
It's all on Mike, Omega.
I'm staying out of this. Probably out.
Reason why he's approving this is because he does not want to grasp the fact that Roman Reigns is going to end up beating... I can't even finish the sentence.
Yeah, don't do that. You're going to choke. I just want Braun to win for points. That's all I'm going to say about it. That said, you know, like, we'll see what kind of potential train wreck this could be. Because I could see it going sideways really, really badly, unfortunately. Just because of the talents involved. I'm not saying anything bad about Roman. He gets a lot of negative heat, but he can work good matches with good opponents. Witness his fight on Monday against Joe. That match was awesome.
But that finish did nothing for Samoa Joe.
Didn't help or hurt either one of them.
But shouldn't the point to be helping Samoa Joe?
It was a push, really. It didn't hurt him.
But it... Okay, but the point should be he should be, you know, bumped up. They should be helping Samoa Joe heading into Brock.
Oh, Ken Kittens wants to know how do I get points for Braun?
You don't have Braun, so you don't get any points for Braun.
I get Braun. Braun's my guy.
Okay, back to the original point. How does Joe? Okay, Roman Reigns passed out in the Coquina Clutch. Great, but there was a distraction. How does that help Joe when he's going into his biggest match of his career against Brock Lesnar?
You can't answer that until it happens, because maybe there's going to be a distraction and he slaps the Coquina Clutch on Brock.
It just all it does is show Joe is advantageous and quick to take advantage. That's really it. It doesn't show any kind of strength or superior skill because, he just got lucky. Someone decided to come out and
yell. And he already took the spear. He took the Superman punch. He was going to take another spear. Joe should be they shouldn't worry about Roman, because Roman's not the guy getting the push for the title. Joe is. That's my point. They focus on too much on trying to make Roman look stronger and protect Roman when Joe's the guy they're selling a pay-per-view around.
Well, here's the thing. It's rock and a hard place. They can't make either of these guys look weak going into the programs that they're putting them into.
Then don't book them in a match together.
Well, at the same time, you know, you got to do something. See, there's your rock and there's your hard place.
You find other opponents. You can have Roman squash someone, Joe squash someone.
At the same time, it did not hurt. It did not hurt Joe going in.
It didn't help him.
But it gives you the idea that, hey, Roman might, you know, Roman got beat. Roman can be beaten. He was distracted. Doesn't matter.
But unless Roman's actually going to get the shot at SummerSlam, the match should never happen.
Yeah, because, well, you never know. Maybe. Maybe it's foreshadowing. Here's the thing. You can't look at this week only. You have to, and, you know, we've preached this in the past. You have to understand their whole scope. You just pointed out maybe that's what it's going to be, is a match. Joe's going to beat Brock and win the title, and it's going to be Joe versus Roman at SummerSlam. We don't know that yet. That's the problem.
I wasn't saying Joe versus Roman. I meant Roman versus Brock. But
well, again, I don't think that's going to happen until WrestleMania.
That's my point.
It shouldn't happen until WrestleMania. So, again, excuse me, we cannot overanalyze this until we know the entire storyline. And right now, we don't.
This is what I do Mondays, 11, 10 p.m. Eastern. I overanalyze the stupid booking of Roman Reigns and Samoa Joe on the Raw Post Show. Ding!
Mike, have you discovered yet how much fun it is to wind up Rock?
Just a little bit.
Sometimes Omega has fun doing it, too.
Yeah, I reserve it for special occasion, though.
That's why I said sometimes. Because if you do it all the time, it'd just be like, oh, not this again.
Anyway, I said my piece. I'll go back to AFK.
There you go. Moving on from this, hey guys, Ring of Honor has a new world champ. It's Cody Rhodes.
No, Cody.
What? Oh, just Cody.
Can't say Rhodes.
Yeah.
It's Cody.
The American Nightmare.
Then it shouldn't have been put down in the run sheet as Cody Rhodes.
Well, Cody Rhodes is the champion, but Cody is his character name.
There you go. So, Cody is the world champ in Ring of Honor. Does that make his decision to leave WWE a good one?
Honestly, depending on how they're spinning their wheels right now, probably.
Yeah. Well, he was stuck in the Stardust gimmick. He said specifically on several occasions, get me out of this. I don't want to do it anymore. I want to be legit. And they're like, no, you're doing this.
Yeah, just because, oh, hey, we don't have anything for you other than, you know, telling a psychological story about a man that's been driven insane, a wife that's on the payroll, that we could probably work into this to bring him back to normal. A brother who is worried for his little brother. Seriously, just how what kind of bullshit do you have to go through before you go, look, there's all the chances in the world to do something with him. You just don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that you don't have anything. You just don't care.
Yeah. Well, let's give Mike the podium here because I think he's got some shit to say.
Considering the fact that WWE had Cody Rhodes, a man, a genius, mind you, in the WWE so far, they did not give him an opportunity. Yes, Legacy was hot. Legacy, because it was second generation superstars. Cementing their legacy, being, it was an original, yeah, I'm sorry, I hate to say it, it was an original thing. Cody Rhodes should have been more than just an intercontinental and tag team.
Why?
Because he deserved so much better, not just of his in-ring ability, but also he had Dashing Cody Rhodes was okay. Dashing Cody Rhodes was okay. I hated Stardust. One gimmick that he did not use, Rhodes Industries. If you guys do not know what Rhodes Industries is, I please look it up. it's the only thing Cody Rhodes did not use. And not only that, he had his wife involved. And honestly, I would have think that would have been golden for him. But he never got that opportunity. So, guess what? Cody Rhodes is gone. And where's Cody now? Cody is doing like every other superstar that left WWE. Well, most of them. Doing better for themselves.
Are they, though?
Hence why I said some of them, not all of them.
Okay.
Some of them, not all of them. Okay. Example. Bobby Lashley. One of the top heels in TNA right now. If not one, the top heel in TNA right now. Johnny Mundo. He left WWE. Look where he is now.
On a show that has a cult following, but it's not the greatest position for him.
But also, he's also in other indie feds, as well as doing PWG stuff.
But how long did it take him to get to that point? It took him years to get to that point.
It took him years to do that, but he wasn't going to do it while he was in WWE, now was he?
No, I'm saying when he left. It took him years from when he left. It
took him 3 years.
Okay.
He went off to be an actor. He actually didn't do any wrestling intentionally.
Right, so it took him a while to get there. That's my point. Keep going, Mike.
Fuck Ryback. sorry. Who else? McIntyre. But then the motherfucker came back. Cool. Well, no. Triple H grabbed him.
Alright, let's go back to the Cody Rhodes point, and you talk about how he's doing... let me make this point.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about how he's doing well for himself right now, and he has the freedom to do whatever he wants, right? Is that the gist of it? He has the freedom to go be creative here and be creative there. Why does he have that opportunity?
Because he's doing him.
No, because he had a success in WWE that allows him to do him. He banked himself money to be able to go on the indie scene and do what he wants. If it wasn't for that, he would be a struggling independent wrestler. Because he has a bank, he's allowed to pick and choose his spots.
So then if that's the case, how come he didn't get the classic Cody Rhodes that we have now?
What do you mean classic Cody Rhodes?
Considering the fact that, granted, yes, he made a lot of money because of what he did in WWE. To me, after Stardust, it went all downhill. And everyone saw it when he did the Stardust gimmick, he gave two shits.
But you know what probably made him a whole lot of money?
Probably the Stardust gimmick.
There you go. What's allowing him to do what he's doing right now? That Stardust gimmick.
But in all, for Cody Rhodes to be in that much rapid success after WWE, he's pretty much been in almost all the known indie circuits, all but a few. He's been in Ring of Honor. He's been in PWG. He's been in TNA. New Japan. By the way, he's not beating Okada. We can just nip that shit in the bud.
But wouldn't it be so awesome if he held both belts? Wouldn't that make such for great publicity and everything like that?
It would be. And he would make history. However, he also is making history because he... Dusty, Dustin, and now Cody. All three have been in New Japan. At least wrestled once in Japan. That I can say that that's one of the only wrestling families that wrestled in Japan.
I would do a little bit more history than that. But
if you could, you know, like I said, correct me if I'm wrong. But it's like
you're wrong.
But it's like at the end of the day, it's like Cody. Cody's in his prime. Cody is in his prime. He is very successful.
Well, here's the thing. Just to backtrack a little bit. Rhodes, Cody would be successful because he's a Rhodes, second generation wrestler. The name would be able to afford him a certain amount of cachet. The thing about it is, WWE skyrocketed him to where he is now with Ring of Honor. He would have gotten there, but not this quickly.
They gave him opportunities. They gave him the platform to get to this point of being a world champion in another organization. Did he not get in WWE? No, he didn't get to that point. Were there factors in play? Probably. But then again, sometimes people aren't just as that good to be in those positions. It's a fact of life. Some people aren't made to be world champions in WWE, even if you believe they have all the talent in the world. It just is what it is.
And that's what it is.
But it's good for Cody. He's a world champion now.
So that's, you know, that's all fine and dandy. Can you imagine Daniel Bryan and Cody Rhodes wrestling in Ring of Honor?
Yes.
Now, are you imagining it happening or are you hoping it happens?
I'm hoping it happens.
Well, I think a lot of people would be hoping it happens on one side of the coin. But, you know, here it is. You know, Daniel Bryan, he's made comments to Sports Illustrated about wrestling outside of WWE, maybe after his WWE contract is up. He wanted to leave earlier, but WWE froze his contract, so he couldn't, you know, all to protect him because the guy had too many concussions. And, you know, once you have a few of them, you're buggered. But here it is. Now, is he trolling or is he sincere about wanting to face Cody Rhodes for the Ring of Honor Championship if Cody breaks his record, which would happen in September of 2018, 467 days or something like that, isn't it?
Oh, shit, that's right.
Yeah, 456 days? Something, 400 and something.
I think it's 462? Something along those lines.
Something.
It's on Daniel Bryan's Twitter.
Yeah. So can you see this actually for real happening, or is he just being Chris Jericho and trolling everybody?
Both.
So in your opinion, he's not only trolling people, he's planning a comeback.
Oh, he's definitely planning a comeback, whether he's able to or not. That's a different story because Omega knows. Man's had a bunch of concussions.
Yeah.
Just a few. I think he even wrote a book about it saying, oh, I had a bunch of concussions, and then, oh, wait, I got another concussion. Oops. Well, that was his biggest downfall, writing his book.
Yeah. Would you guys still hope that he decides not to wrestle if medical staff say, clear him?
Medical staffs have cleared him. WWE hasn't.
Yeah, okay, big difference.
Okay, there you go. So for every other promotion, he's cleared to wrestle. WWE probably never will, and thanks to the lawsuit, among other
suits.
Things.
Lawsuits.
Yes, plural.
That have been filed by other wrestlers. Is why he's currently not in a ring right now, at his book.
So, never mind what we want to see, what we would love to see, what we could see. Should Daniel Bryan actually ever enter a ring again? He just became a father, by the way.
Here's the hard part. Like, it depends. Because, okay, we'll be fair. We've seen people with worse concussions, injuries get back in the ring. Mm-hmm. We've seen, we've seen Bret Hart get back into the ring.
Bret Hart became United States champion, by golly.
And nobody believed me, but Tim was right.
I mean, it really depends. Like, if that many experts on concussions think, yeah, he's good to go, then maybe he is. And maybe it's a matter of changing up his in-ring style and the kind of matches he wrestles to stay safe.
That's the thing. He has a style he's created in his head of how he wants to wrestle. And I think he wants to try it at least once.
Well, and he would not be the first wrestler to change his style in order to protect himself after being severely injured.
Well, of course not. You know, those injuries sometimes. The thing is, like, we have examples like Ric Flair, who went through catastrophic injury. Had to completely change his style, but it became such a signature that it became one of the greats.
Yeah. And then one of the slightly more recent, but still way back in the past, Mark Merrow. He was a high flyer. You know, Johnny B. Bad, and he was a risk taker and a daredevil and all that other stuff. He gets really, really, really hurt in the ring. He comes back in an MMA gimmick. No more high flying for him. That was almost as drastic a change as what Flair did, albeit for slightly different and slightly less damaging reasons.
Yeah. And there's also, I have to acknowledge that between those two examples, there is a slight gap in success level.
There is that as well.
Just a slight.
Yeah. Mark Merrow's biggest claim to fame was he was at one point married to, what's her name?
Sable. And the downfall of his career was when he got the downfall was when he got powerbombed by Sable in the middle of a ring.
Yeah.
That signified the end of Marvelous Mark Merrow.
Though, to be fair, as a kid, I loved watching that.
That was kind of awesome.
It was awesome, but it was the end of his career.
Yeah. So, I don't know if it's a good idea if he should ever get back in the ring again. I mean, if he can do it and stay safe, maybe a couple more matches. Maybe. But I say that with a lot of hesitation.
A lot of hesitation.
More than just a little bit.
I mean, he's a little girl now. He should probably think twice.
Never the world's worst of ideas. So,
but should he return, I am praying that there is one man, if I can get anything on WWE involving Daniel Bryan, it has to be him versus Kurt.
What, not him versus Shinsuke?
God, no.
Shinsuke would probably put him on the shelf permanently.
Yeah. So not Bryan versus Balor?
I know. Bryan versus Brock.
What about Bryan versus AJ?
Already happened.
I don't care. Want it again.
I got it. Battle of the greatest SmackDown world champions of all time. Daniel Bryan, Jinder Mahal.
Get out. I'm sorry. I don't care who wins or loses. The crowd wins. Two general managers facing each other. Come on now. To see who's a better brand. The storyline would be good. It'd be like the general managers themselves be like, if you want something done, do it yourself. I'm just saying.
But do you remember the last battle of general managers?
Can we not?
John Laurinaitis and Teddy Long.
Can we not?
Sam.
The first one was actually Theodore Long versus Eric Bischoff.
Actually, before that, it was Vince McMahon versus Ric Flair.
Both of them damn near own the company, so, yeah.
And Ric Flair bled hard for that one.
Oh, did he?
Well, Ric Flair, he always bleeds hard.
Yeah. To be fair, the man will probably bust open if you stare at him for too long.
What's next, Tim?
The next thing we could talk about would be celebrities in wrestling.
Yay. Rapper Lil.
Yeah, Lil Yachty wants to wrestle. Apparently WWE is interested in it. Of course, that's according to him.
Well, of course, always according to him. Yeah, it was on TMZ story. He wants to wrestle. I never heard of the dude before that.
Okay. Maybe that's why he wants to wrestle, is so people hear who he is. Hear about him.
Maybe. But there's a connection about Raw tomorrow, so bring that up.
There's a connection to what did you say? I missed it.
About Raw tomorrow. Bring that next one up.
LeVar Ball?
Yeah, he's going to appear. He might appear on Raw tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
Do we all know who LeVar Ball is?
He's the father of Lonzo Ball. Now, Lonzo Ball is an NBA rookie who has a $400 shoe.
$495.
Well, okay, $500 shoe.
No, $495, not $500, $495.
Oh, shut up. $495 is $500.
Not according to him.
Well, of course not, but still, it's a $500 shoe. It's not a $500 shoe. He wants $500 for the pair.
Now it's coming in purple, yellow, and gold, available in February if you want it for $495.
And all I can say is, LeVar Ball, take those damn shoes and shove them up your ass. It's ridiculous.
You can also get sandals.
I suppose I've ranted about this in the past. But anyway, does it really matter? Who cares? NBA sucks anyway.
Oh, don't you go there.
I just did. NBA sucks anyway.
NBA does not suck.
NBA sucks.
No, it doesn't.
That's why Canadians gave Americans basketball. It was our version of a practical joke that you guys still haven't got.
NBA is the jam, yo.
NBA jam! I played that in 1991.
Really good game.
Anyway.
They've come out with a new version of it. It's not NBA Jam. It's called NBA Playground. It's sort of like NBA Jam. Different topic for a different day.
Yeah, I've heard that before. No, seriously, I've heard it before.
Yay, celebrities in wrestling. Is that a good idea, bad idea?
Dumb. The only celebrity I saw get involved in wrestling that seemed to actually work, at least in the last, like, 15 years, was Arrow. Actor's name.
Stephen Amell.
Yeah, Stephen Amell. I mean, the guy actually looked good in the ring. He looked like he could be a mid-carder, and at least he wore the boots.
At least he wore the boots.
He did wear the boots, so that's all that mattered.
It helps when you are used to dressing like a superhero. Like, wrestling attire is not a big deal after that.
Well, here's the thing. If you've ever watched Arrow, and I'm pretty sure a few people listening have, because let's face it, wrestling is a little bit geeky. And people who are into geek stuff will, you know, watch other geek stuff. I, for instance, watch Arrow. And I also watch The Flash and Supergirl. But so what? It's stuff to watch on TV. Arrow is a very physically demanding role. And you see him do all of these things. It's not a stunt double. It's actually him. So he's got the physique. He's got the tone. He's got the muscle. He's got the stamina to actually do this. And it's too bad that Cody's no longer in WWE as far as this is concerned, because I was always hoping for a return of Stephen Amell taking on Cody. But that's the only celebrity and wrestling combination that I can think of that actually worked well.
Jon Stewart.
Bob Barker. Cindy Lauper.
That's just a totally different category than I was focusing on.
But it's a celebrity in wrestling.
And as opposed to celebrities who were wrestling.
I'm about to say, there's a lot of celebrities that I know are wrestling, and they kind of, yeah.
So, Mike, who are your top five celebrity wrestling appearances ever? Time to rank stuff here on WTR Sunday night.
Top five?
Top five. Go.
Top five.
In any order.
Dear God. Number five, The Muppets. Number four, Jackass. Number three, Betty White. Number two, David Arquette. Number one, Bob Barker.
Omega, rank stuff. Go.
See, yeah. Muppets, Bob Barker, Stephen Amell. God, who else?
Wolverine, just because he punched Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, Hugh Jackman. That's not a bad one. And Kid Rock's midget.
Kid Rock's midget.
Oh, man, that sucked. And I don't mean his appearance. I mean that we lost the guy. I didn't want to say we lost Kid Rock's midget, because that just sounded terrible.
What's his name?
We can't find him anywhere.
What's
yeah. Well, what do you mean you lost him? Well, have you seen how small he is? He's in his place.
Jeez, like 2.5 feet tall.
Yeah. And unfortunately passing away a number of years ago, which did cause Kid Rock to change his music styling just a touch.
He's a country singer now. That's more than a touch.
Mm.
Does anyone know his name?
Anyway, what?
I know. I heard that break up from Mike. Does anyone know the midget's name?
Josie.
There you go. Wanted to at least put his name out there instead of just Kid Rock's midget.
Yeah.
No, Joe C, not Jose or Josie. Just so you know. Not you guys, because I'm sure you know.
No way. Jose?
Yeah, not Jose. Joe C. So I suppose you want my top five in no particular order.
Tim, rank stuff, go.
Well, you know, mostly what Omega said. I will accept the Muppets. You've got to go Bob Barker, because, shit, Bob Barker. Jon Stewart. Is that three?
Yes.
Stephen Amell. And I don't know, I brought up Wolverine. I'm the one who brought up Wolverine, so Hugh Jackman.
Okay, there you go. They rank stuff, everybody. More ranking stuff after the break.
Really? Why?
Because a fan asked a question.
Silly fans.
Go to break.
All right, we're going to break. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. You're listening to WTR Sunday Night Roast Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Tuesday night, step inside the virtual realm with WTR Sims.
It's boots to asses time!
Watch as your favorite WTR personalities battle it out to find out which one truly is the best.
To be the man! You gotta beat the man!
Watch it live Tuesday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/rackradioshow. Or on demand at youtube.com/rackradioshow. Tuesday nights will never be the same again with WTR Sims.
Celebrating 5 years of the award winning The Rack.
You know what? Honestly, it's changed my life. I am so grateful for the opportunity of not only being a part of WWE, but being a part of Total Divas. I mean, when I first came in, I did do the WWE Diva Search, but I originally, did my tryout. I got my developmental deal, and I was not supposed to move until July to the Performance Center, which is in Orlando. But this last-minute thing came up for Total Divas, so I went ahead and I auditioned for that, and then I got it. And as soon as I got it, I moved within 48 hours. And then ever since then, I've been on the road. So,
wow.
Yeah, not only has it changed my life so drastically and fast, but it's also made me grow in so many different ways. I mean, the only downfall is, you know, I am brand new. I am a brand new entertainer, wrestler, but so I'm learning as I go on the road and on TV. So that's extremely hard, especially I am a perfectionist, so I take everything to heart. But on the flip side, it's the best thing in the world. So, you know, there's always pros and cons to everything, and I wouldn't change a thing.
Join us June 29th for the celebration at 10 p.m. Eastern, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Who is the greatest Canadian of all time? CB Radio decides.
They get thrown, get her to the job. But listen, you kid, don't get caught in the Canadian syndrome, where if it's Canadian, it's got to be bad. We're the best. I've been telling you the best.
Oh, Canada.
Fucker.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
But I go out at WrestleMania 10, and I beat you 1, 2, 3, which is what I'm gonna do, and you know it, and I know it, and it's only a matter of time, then that makes me better than you, doesn't it, Brett?
Who the fuck's Justin Bieber?
Jim last night, oh, I was at the Christmas party, I fondled that secretary's breast.
It's the Greater Than Great Debate, heard every Saturday night, midnight-ish Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas, one half of the world's greatest tag team, and you're listening to me on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
All right! Break me down, you got a lovely face, we're going to your place, and now you got to freak me out.
No, not yet, keep it going. And welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Are you serious, Rock? That was a random song you decided to play?
It was all one folder.
Really?
Yeah.
You're crazy, bitch. Don't even. Never mind. Just shut up and move on.
What? I didn't say a word.
I'm just saying. Did I say welcome back, everybody? I'm glad you're joining us. Yeah, I kind of like that song, but I hate it at the same time. It's a long, complicated story, and I'm not going to get into it. Not on this program, anyway. Maybe I'll do a separate one. And it'll be at, like, midnight mountain time. Guaranteed nobody will listen. Anyway.
All right, then.
What was that O Canada thing I heard play?
This Saturday night, midnight-ish, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network on Canada Day, we are going to do the Greater Than Great Debate. who is the greatest Canadian of all the time?
I don't think that should be left up to Americans.
Well, you know how to call in.
I don't know. It might be at Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 or Wonder Woman or Planet of the Apes. Wait, I got to wait until the 16th of July for that one.
Well, yes, we're determining who is the greatest Canadian of all the time.
King Caden's half Canadian. I don't know if that counts. Just because one of your parents was Canadian doesn't make you Canadian.
And yes, you are on the list.
Me? That's retarded. That's ridiculous. That's hilarious. I'm definitely not one of the greatest Canadians of all time. I'm just the greatest Canadian involved in webcasting.
So you're on the list, because we need 120 of them, so...
So I'm going to have Chris Jericho screaming at me?
I don't know if you'll have Chris Jericho screaming at you.
Oh, man, that's just such a perfect opportunity for a soundbite, and you just never even thought of it. Well, I did, so that makes me greater than you. You just made the list! Anyway.
And clip. Anyway.
Yeah, there you go. Money in the Bank gets a redo, and I think the entire wrestling world is really happy about this. Guess what I watched today after work before the webcast?
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
That's right, SmackDown Live, starring Harrison Ford. Wait, no.
Where was he on our list of best celebrity is in wrestling? Wow.
What, did Harrison Ford ever do a celebrity appearance?
No.
He should have.
That would have been cool.
Apparently, Big Show versus Chewbacca.
Apparently, I have a huge ego.
Mm-hmm. You think about it, that Chewbacca would be like the ultimate Wyatt family member.
Oh, shit, yeah. That would be just perfect. Awesome. Anyway, yeah, so I watched SmackDown Live, Daniel Bryan coming out and saying to all the ladies, okay, you know what? No, we're going to redo this next Tuesday. Give me the briefcase, bitch. I'm paraphrasing. But that's essentially what happened. Now, for me, there's like two main schools of thought here. We're gonna dive into this in a quick sec, but everybody that I know, and yeah, I got a chance to watch the pay-per-view. Everybody I know absolutely hated the Women's Money in the Bank ladder match. Why? Because of James Ellsworth. Am I wrong?
Omega? No.
Mike?
No. We have spoken about this at length at this point. Like, there is something adamantly disgusting about booking such a historic match for the women's division that we are trying so hard to be taken seriously. Hey, you're not divas anymore. You are superstars, no worse than the guys. So we're going to take you seriously from now on. Here's your first ever Money in the Bank ladder match. I can't remember a women's ladder match in WWE, period. So this is doubly historic for the brand, and you have five of your most talented women, you know, the best women's roster we've ever had in WWE, laying on the floor while a man wins their match for them.
Okay, yeah, Mike. Get it out really quickly before I move on, because I've got some stuff to say.
Then you might as well move on.
All right. Here's the thing. This turns into the two schools of thought. They realized after, like, maybe, like, during, like, after the match was over on the pay-per-view itself, or immediately following the pay-per-view, that, you know, maybe we fucked this up and we should, like, fix it. Or this was planned out all along by them, to have a redo on free TV, well, you know, on regular TV and not a pay-per-view.
Gotta get them ratings up.
Yeah. I'm in the second school of thought. This feels like it was something that was planned from the get-go. Not only because, hey, this makes a pretty good ratings grab for the next episode of SmackDown.
Yeah.
But also because it feels like the Money in the Bank match at Money in the Bank was a trial run.
Uh-huh.
Because this is something you've never done with these women before. Can they handle the rigors and the dangers of a ladder match? Can they fall off a ladder, hit the top rope, and, like, not snap their necks in half? You know, when you're WWE and you've already got a bunch of lawsuits for, you know, performers' injuries, you know, I'm not surprised that they would be very cautious in uncharted territory here. Maybe, you know, to the women's detriment, because no one will remember that match except for James Ellsworth. But, you know, hopefully this one makes up for it somewhat. Hopefully they actually have a good ladder match on SmackDown. You know, they deserve to at least have the chance. And in a way, this is exactly what you would do if it was any major match, except, you know, you'd typically do it at like a house show.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's Money in the Bank, you don't really get a chance to dry run that. You know, it's not like you can hang a fake thing up from a ladder and go, well, you know, welcome to the house show where we kind of do Money in the Bank, but not really.
Like, yeah.
So at least this way the women have had a chance to actually be in a ladder match situation and know what they're getting into, as well as as well as WWE knowing what they're getting into.
Yeah. What do you think, Mike? Big oops, we got to fix this fuck up, or hey, this will be great for ratings.
Bingo.
Okay.
It's like, oh, wait, do we... Oh, crap. Let's, we don't have a remote. Yeah. They're watching us. They're watching us. Redo. How are we going to do it? We'll figure it out.
Okay. I'm split 50-50. I can see them realizing they fucked up, scripting, booking. And I also see, hey, you know, free, you know, like publicity ratings and like, you know, fuck the fans at the pay-per-view.
The fact that Daniel Bryan sent out a tweet within 3 minutes of it and then flashing it on the television broadcast means this was planned all along.
Yeah. Now, what was Daniel Bryan's tweet? Do you remember?
Something to the effect that this does not sit well with him, and he's going to address it. The first thing he does when he returns is SmackDown Live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that just, like you said, that just really, really makes it feel like it was deliberate.
Shane tweeted something similar to that. Like, then they put it up on the screen, and it was like, yay!
You know, so,
it was all planned. They knew what they were doing.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it's good for business or bad for business, we'll see how the ratings turn out this Tuesday when they do the match again. Ratings were up this week, but Raw was up this week, so it all depends. If they do a big number and the girls do a fantastic match, then we'll all forget about what happens. But we shouldn't have to forget about the first. We shouldn't have to redo the first with this match. We shouldn't have to, but... That, you know, we've all talked about it ad nauseum at this point, and James Ellsworth was not just the only reason why the match came off flat. They didn't give them enough time, but, you know, we've talked about that too.
How much time do you see them giving this match on SmackDown on Tuesday? What do you think, Omega?
Well, it was, what, 13 minutes at Money in the Bank?
Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm looking for at least 20 out of this. Like,
okay.
They need redemption, and they need the chance to actually put on a full match.
Whatever the men's time and Money in the Bank was the longest Money in the Bank time ever. So, because ESPN stats pulled that up. It was like 29 minutes or whatever. I would give them 20 to 22 minutes, put it on television, put them in the main event, give them about, 30 minutes of TV time, a minute or two for celebration, about 5 minutes is for entrances, so give them the final half hour of the show.
Yeah. What say you, Mike?
The crowd wins. They know, WWE know that they fucking messed up. And so we're like, look, guys, we're sorry. Here's 30 minutes, 25 minutes top. Well, the 25, 30 minutes tops.
That's You're thinking they're going to do between 25 and 30 minutes for a women's Money in the Bank ladder match?
Because I think they're probably going to do it right.
Now, are you including entrances on that?
Yes.
Okay. If that's the case, then yeah, with all of the entrances, it could stretch out to 30 minutes. But you just heard Rock say that the men's Money in the Bank ladder match was, what, 29 minutes?
29 and change, and ESPN Stats and Info said that was the longest version of the Money in the Bank ladder match that's ever been done.
So I'm thinking the actual length of this women's match, now that they feel uncomfortable, between 20 and 25 minutes. Which, again, puts it in the last half hour of Raw, or, I'm sorry, SmackDown. I'm going to think of Raw. And so you've got 30 minutes all-inclusive with entrances and stuff. And right before the match starts, Ellsworth is barred from ringside.
He's already been barred. He did it on Talking Smack. He's been barred.
Oh, I missed Talking Smack, so.
Yeah, Brian barred him from ringside.
Okay, so that's perfect. And are we expecting to actually see a good match here now?
We better.
Do you, basically, the question is, do you collectively, guys, feel confident that the women can pull off a good ladder match for money for the Money in the Bank redo?
I thought they could the first time, frankly. Mm.
If you look at the brawl they did leading up to it, and you combine that with a ladder match, take both of those elements, you got a fantastic match. They have the ability. They know. You got Natty, Charlotte, and Becky in there. Need I say more?
Natty and Charlotte, just Natty and Charlotte, should put on a hell of a show.
Ring Generals itself, guys. Like, yeah.
And is Carmella going to win again?
She should.
Mike?
This is WWE logic. Yeah.
It's the Money in the Bank suits her. I think she's the best one to wield it just because, you know, a slimy and schemy heel generally makes the most interesting Money in the Bank holders.
Uh-huh.
And it's a good redemption for her. She proves, I didn't need James. I can do it on my own. It's a good redemption story.
Potentially.
Potentially. It's written right there for them.
Potentially.
Would I be okay with Charlotte winning because I need points? Yes, I would totally be okay with that.
Who have I got on SmackDown in the ladies' division?
I believe Becky, maybe?
Okay, go Becky Lynch.
I think.
Just points. How many points do I get if she wins Money in the Bank?
10, plus the win on the show, so 12.
Go Becky Lynch!
So there you go.
There you go, yeah. So we're all in consensus. It's a good idea that they redo the Women's Money in the Bank, but we're also all in agreement that they did this shit on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
On an entire night of screwy job finishes. Anyway.
That was a weird fucking pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was one hell of a good match, Rock. By the way, you were right. Thanks.
I told you. I told you. Yep. He's speaking of the Men's Money in the Bank ladder match.
Yeah.
It was quite entertaining. So.
And that AJ spot, Tim?
Ouch.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on.
Shit. Anyway, this week in wrestling history, it's been 15 years since John Cena debuted. He beat Kurt Angle. And the one thing I can remember is that goddamn grin that he could not hide. Like, I'm finally on TV on SmackDown. He is all trying to be a tough guy, but he's got that shit-eating grin that's just peeking out. You guys remember that?
Did he beat Kurt Angle or, you know, he faced Kurt Angle? I don't remember if he beat him or not. But I remember Undertaker giving him respect afterwards.
Which is all that matters, I suppose.
It was this, okay, kid. You've made it now.
Yeah, there you go. Now, where would John Cena be today if he never did initially get over? And is it Kurt Angle's fault for John Cena getting over? I just threw that one in there.
Good answers. Family Feud style.
Yeah,
don't everybody
rush in. So we'll start with Rock.
What, where would he be?
Where would he be today if he had never gotten over?
It's more, where would WWE be if he didn't get over? Who would be in that position? Who would Randy Orton be the bigger star? Or would Batista be the bigger star? Would Batista have ever left WWE?
Batista would have left.
Even if he was given the John Cena role?
Mm-hmm.
That nigga would have gone.
I think WWE would have been in trouble. Because as we've seen, John Cena is sort of the one of the only couple names that have been able to branch out and be a big success outside of WWE. Yes, Batista got lucky with the movie. But John Cena does a lot more than that. And he's sort of this guy who does all these shows and very popular right now. And they would be struggling for a mainstream star, whether you like it or not, if he didn't get over.
What do you think, Omega?
God, it's hard to say.
But then again, here's another thing. Because John Cena didn't get over, they would have been in a different position where other guys may have been able to get a chance. Sort of like when they brought in Wade Barrett, because since Cena didn't put him over, Wade Barrett may have gotten over it. Or Wrestler X would have got, you know, all these different things if John Cena was never a thing. It would have changed the landscape of WWE. And would it have changed for the better or worse?
I see it. If it wasn't John Cena, it would have been somebody else.
It would have been, but it just...
Just don't ask me who.
Exactly. It's the who is always the big question on it. And it's just interesting to think about, just where would WWE be without him? That's all.
Don't know.
We'll never know, but it's just, you know.
Yeah. So there's that for that, and that's that.
It's just interesting that it was like 15 years. Wow, it's already been 15 years for John Cena.
Kind of surprising.
Then again, not really.
Yeah. Now, what's this about a fan question?
Fan question. Alex Cage on Twitter wants you guys to rank some stuff. By the way, you can send questions for Ask the Rack this Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Rack, to at Wild Talk Radio at Rack Radio Show on Twitter. He asks, rank them. As general managers or owners, Dario Cueto from Lucha Underground, Teddy Long in WWE, Hulk Hogan for Impact Wrestling, Eric Bischoff, WCW, and Paul Heyman for ECW. Mike, rank some stuff. Go.
So we got to put these guys in order.
Yes.
Okay, go, Mike.
Eric Bischoff, Hulk Hogan are tied. Dario, Teddy Long. Okay. Mind you, bottom to top. Eric Bischoff. No, I'm sorry. Hulk Hogan. Eric Bischoff. Dario. Teddy Long. Paul Heyman.
Omega, rank some stuff.
I'm trying to remember all those names.
It's in the sheet.
Yeah. I haven't had the sheet open.
Tim, while he's opening the sheet, rank some stuff. Go.
From top to bottom, it's going to be Paul Heyman with ECW. The guy was an absolute genius, and he was a perfect mastermind for running a wrestling company. He was absolutely shitty with the financials. That's a different story. After that, it's Dario Cueto with Lucha Underground, then Eric Bischoff, then Teddy Long, then Hulk Hogan. That's my list.
Omega, did you rank some stuff yet?
Get to the chopper.
Jeez, it's going to sound familiar. Hogan is at the bottom. Hogan is at the bottom, followed by, and now there's a big gulf between him and Teddy Long, and then Eric Bischoff, Dario Cueto, and Paul Heyman at the top.
Gee, that sounds familiar.
Yes, but I'm the only one who knows Lucha, so I'm ranking Dario higher.
Ooh, hey, I put him like second. What are you talking about? I put him second just like you did.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this is where Omega would come in. I go Bischoff, Heyman, Teddy, Hogan, Cueto.
I just want to, Omega, I've been marathoning a little bit of Lucha Underground now that I have access to it. You're right. You win.
I want to be able to solve problems the way he does. I just open up a drawer and throw money.
There you go.
So nice.
So, who asked that question?
Alex Cage on the Twitter.
Oh, thank you very much for that question, Alex Cage. Feel free to keep sending in questions all the time, and we'll do stuff. If you got a suggestion for something you want us to talk about, let us know. You know how to do it. You know how to get in touch with us. And it's not just Rock you can tweet to. You can tweet to me, too.
Tim's lonely. Tweet at him at Flames Forums.
He knows my handle because he follows me.
But I'm saying for people in general.
And I follow him too. See, cause like, here's the thing. If you follow me on the Twitter, I'll follow you back. And every now and then when I do a Friday follow or a Saturday shout out, I'll mention you maybe. Cause you never know. I've been known to do that too and piss off everybody else that I don't mention. Which is why I don't do it very often.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoop-de-freaking-doo!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
Stop us now!
We didn't lie to you, folks. We told you we had living, breathing monstrosities.
You think you know me?
Counting life, a better place, in a broken dream.
Omega.
Yeah, there's not really a question here, Edge.
Mike.
No debate here, Edge.
Tim.
The first one was, what was the name of the faction?
The Oddities.
That's it, the Oddities. I was having a blonde moment.
Don't worry, it's not like they said it during the song or anything.
Yeah, I know. Don't be a smartass because you're a smartass. As much as I like that, it's like hands down. It's Adam Copeland.
A.K.A. Edge.
No relation to Mike Copeland from The Police.
Was that? Okay.
Come get on the train. If it ain't easy.
Mike.
I fucking hate you.
Don't blame him.
Well, luckily it wasn't the right Undertaker theme song I thought it was. Fuck. I know, I gotta be a black guy. I'm gonna go with the Godfather.
Omega.
Undertaker.
So white of you, Tim.
One thing that was really enjoyable about hearing Godfather's music kick in was that you knew within 35 seconds you was going to be seeing a bunch of boobies bouncing their way to the ring. And that was kind of awesome. And yo, Holmes, pimping ain't easy. However, it's going up against one incantation of Undertaker's. And when it's Undertaker... I'm sorry, but the Godfather will rest in peace.
So you like the boobies, Tim?
Everybody likes boobies. Even homosexual men like boobies. But I'm picking the Undertaker.
Do you like the legs?
I'm more of a breast man myself. Mind you, I won't say no.
Y'all say, oh, it's time to rock and roll.
We'll start with you, Tim.
Oh, my God. Stacey Keibler will be enough to make you drool and feel like a fool. Ooh, yeah, but nothing beats Stratus action.
That's one for Trish. Omega.
Big shock from me. going with Trish.
Holy cow! You're a turncoat! Or something. Or something.
Mike?
Puppies.
There you go, and we have one final one where Mike's going to hate me in about 1 minute.
got the look that drives a girl wild. I've got the move that really move her. I said chill up and down their spine. I'm just a sexy boy. I'm not your boy toy. I'm just a sexy boy. I'm not your boy toy. Time to play the game. Time to play the game. It's all about the game and how you play it. All about control. And if you can take it, all about your debt. And if you can pay it, it's all about pain. And who's gonna make it?
Oh my god.
Are we still in the first round?
Yep.
How? How are these two put against each other?
Because they are.
Fucking hell.
Exactly.
So what, God, what gets you more points? Having a song specifically made for you or singing your own song? I have to let my childhood speak here and go with HBK.
Mike.
I hate you.
I told you.
With every fiber in my being, considering that this is the first fucking round.
Not his fault. It was all randomized.
Oh, well, it's not King of Kings, HBK.
Tim.
Well, it sounds to me like HBK has already won. So I don't feel quite so bad with my pick or torn or whatever. Because, yeah, you know, like, Sexy Boy, that's really, really hard to beat. My vote would be going for the game just because of Lemmy. And that's the only reason. If it was anybody else singing it besides Lemmy, never would have, it would never get my vote right now.
So there you go. That is the all-time greatest. Now, before we go.
Can you name the group that Lemmy was the lead singer of? Or in other words, can you name the band that put that song together?
Say it, Tim.
Motorhead.
There you go.
This is Spades. Yeah.
Now, I was trying to segue into something.
Go ahead.
Before we go, it doesn't have an intro yet. It will at some point. We'll see how this plays out. What's the best thing you saw this week, Omega? In wrestling.
Wow, this is rather positive.
I know, right? What's the best thing you saw in wrestling this week?
God, that's actually tricky. I wasn't prepared for that. I should have opened the run sheet first, shouldn't I?
This is what happened when I write a sheet. Some people should think.
Look, I was busy, okay?
You saw the Transformers before. Anyway.
You're lucky I have any memory of this week whatsoever after that.
What, the last Transformers movie? It sucks.
Yeah, it does.
YouTube.com/TJOmega.
No wonder you have a migraine.
Best thing I saw was probably, I don't know, I really liked Daniel Bryan chewing out Carmella and Ellsworth. Like, it's a segment that had to happen. They were set up for it to happen, but I like how it came off.
Mike, what's the best thing you saw this week?
Same thing, Daniel Bryan.
Tim, what was the best thing you saw this week?
The match between Samoa Joe and Roman Reigns, and I don't care if anybody thinks it does anybody any good or does them harm leading into their pay-per-view matches. It was a goddamn good match, and it was like, oh, fuck, this is good. Shit, it's great. Awesome! So it was Reigns versus just Joe.
So that was, before we go, the best thing they saw this week to close out WTR Sunday Night.
And all I gotta say is, smarten up, King Kittens, god damn you! That said, follow me on the Twitters at Flames Forums. We mentioned that once before. Just because I'm trying to get more people, I want to get like to 2,000 followers as soon as possible. And then I can tell Omega I'm not even catching up yet. But
tomorrow night, immediately following Raw, it's the immediately following Raw show.
Raw post at 11:10 p.m. Eastern. We'll recap everything that goes down on Monday Night Raw.
Call it right after wrestling. I'm serious.
No.
You suck. Tuesday night. Once again, everybody, WTR Sims, twitch.tv/rackradioshow. Check it out. We were all turned into wrestling characters inside WWE 2K17, and we fight each other virtually, and you want to watch and see who wins.
Yes, this week it's Total Nonstop Sims, the Impact Invasion, WTR versus Impact Wrestling.
Sounds weird.
Twitch.tv/rackradioshow, 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Speaking about Rock Radio Show, Thursday nights, 10 o'clock Eastern, as close as 8. No, wait. Thursday nights, 10 o'clock Eastern. Another edition of the Wild, the Wack. No. The multi-time, multi-award-winning The Rack.
It's
with
the
Lindsay Ward.
It's the five-year show. Finally got there. It's a five-year show this Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. We will have Ask the Racks or send in your questions to Rack Radio Show on the Twitter, at Wild Talk Radio on the Twitter. You can email media@wildtalkradio.com. You can get a hold of us any way you know how to. Send us your questions for Ask the Rack. We're going to do Ask the Rack. We're going to have a Slammiversary preview and smack a little bit of SmackDown thrown in there as well. It's the Rack every Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Go back and listen to last week's episode featuring the one and only Impact Wrestling, six-time Knockouts champion, Angelina Love. It's all available at RackRadioShow.com, YouTube.com/RackRadioShow, where you can find different things all the time, including the archives of WTR Sims, Rack Radio Show on the Facebook, Twitter, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, and again, the website, RackRadioShow.com.
And Saturday night, midnight-ish, or as close as they can get to it, it's a very special edition of the Saturday Night Live post-show, better known as CB Radio.
It's greater than a great debate this week. Who is the greatest Canadian of all times?
Me!
He's on the list. Will he win? Tune in and come help Tim win Saturday night, midnight at CBRadioLive.com on the Facebook, Twitter, and the website CBRadioLive.com. Hashtag blame Rob when a celebrity dies. Go back and listen to last night's episode where we did TV villains in the greater than great debate.
And, of course, don't forget, everybody, next Sunday night, same time, same channel, 10 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Mountain. It is a special preview edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestling Talk Radio. Takes a look at Great Balls of Fire, which is 2 weeks away, and we'll play WTR Pick'em.
Greatest pay-per-view name of all time, Great Balls of Fire.
With a, at one point in time, awesome logo until they changed it.
They neutered it.
There you go. I told you to follow me at Flames Forums on the Twitter machine. Follow Wild Talk Radio at Wild Talk Radio. Follow Wrestle Talk Radio at WTR Sunday Night. All on the Twitters.
And Facebook.
Now go to Facebook and follow us there too, right, Rocky?
Facebook.com/WTR Sunday Night. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
I think we're done plugging us. Let's let Omega get plugged up. Wait a minute. Want some cheese?
No.
Might be binding.
Might be. Everything I do can generally be found under one name, unless you are the type for Facebook, in which case you'll have to look for TJ Reviews. Everywhere else, on Twitter, it is TJ Omega. On YouTube, it is TJ Omega, where all of my content is generally posted, except for the stuff that isn't posted there, which is found at tjomega.org.
Go to youtube.com/TJOmega and watch him rip the new Transformers movie apart for 40 minutes. Available at youtube.com/TJOmega.
Oh, so much to bitch about.
What a bad movie.
He stands up and points at you and tells you why it's all bad. Am I wrong?
Not far off.
Really? You said a few good things.
But I'm saying with the standing up and pointing part of it.
Okay, like, yes.
Did you get to the end credits? That was a good thing?
Yeah, I gestured a lot, yes.
See?
Imagine the gesture.
Anyway, Mike, go.
And even if you don't get to look on his Twitter page about it, I'm going to post it on my Twitter page, the WTR Oreo, because the Transformers movie was complete ass. Thank you very much. I'm so glad I didn't pay for it. You know, a lot of friends were like, oh my God, it's amazing. But yes, so I'm going to also promote Omega's video on my Twitter page, the WTR Oreo. Come on in, join in, look at it. I'll add you back. Also, you guys can look at me. I'm doing a little project thingy on the Facebook, United Wrestling. So hopefully
you know, see there. We'll have some footage hopefully next week. Yeah, thanks so much.
Wait a minute, Mike. You send in the wolf?
What?
You send in the wolf?
No.
Oh my god, I can't believe you don't know Pulp Fiction quotes.
I know what it is. I'm just not in the mood right now.
Aww. Fine. Winston Wolf. I think we're done, son. Thanks, everybody. Have yourselves a great week. Talk to you next Sunday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com.